the Rokan Show. Anna DeVlantis is out today, and we're going to actually talk to a doctor about her symptoms, even though she's already been diagnosed. You know, the flu's around. The flu's going around. HIPAA violation. I know. But I did it anyway. So Kevin Powell is going to be playing the role of Anna today.
I have to squeegee everything again, just like yesterday. We have our industrial-sized disinfectant wipe jug here. And I am going to wipe down every square inch around me.
Listen to this. You want to hear something? I have a major announcement. I have a major Rokan Show announcement.
Rokan breaking news?
Yes.
Okay.
Is your backyard in need of a makeover? If it is, get decked out for the summer. You could win. Listen to this. A 12 by 16 foot rectangular deck built by Architect of Chicagoland and constructed of TimberTech. No deck is complete without a place to sit, and a prize package includes a three-piece cushion sectional with a fire pit table from American Sale and their Bella Collection, or Bella Collezione, as I like to call it. And you'll be cooking on a brand new Weber Spirit 2 Series gas grill from Weber.
Nothing better than that.
Nothing better than that.
Weber, the goat grill. Greatest of all time.
How do you... You can also put goat on the Weber, too, if you want.
Yeah, whatever you want.
I don't know how you feel about
goat. You'll get a nice, even cook no matter what you put on the grill. You can trust in Weber that way.
Nicely. By the way, nicely done. I think that the Weber is going to really be appreciating your endorsement. How can you win all of this, you might be asking? Go to WGNradio.com/contest. Upload a photo of your backyard that needs a makeover for the chance to get decked out for summer. That's WGNradio.com/contests. Sponsored, of course, by Architect of Chicagoland. Look at that. Yeah!
Deck party!
You win this deck. I mean, who knows? If the show shows up and starts partying on it.
You've got one of these fire pit tables.
I have a fire pit pit.
Fire pit pit.
Yeah. It's a yes, I do. Yes.
They do it nice.
They do nice. This is
giving me warm thoughts as this never-ending winter goes on. I'm thinking of those summer nights at the Rokan party deck. You know,
how about that?
Does your fire pit allow for s'mores?
I mean, we could do s'mores in it. Now, I will warn you, though. Mm-hmm. It's got what is that? Like cracked lava rock glass?
Yeah, like a little sort of jelly. Well, they're not jelly. Like the little rock thing. So yeah. It's not like you don't get the crackling of
s'mores.
Well, no, it doesn't. I wouldn't say it's just more of a gas situation.
Yeah,
you don't get the crackle of the fire and the smokiness and all that.
No, but you don't.
That makes it. I mean, you're in the heart of Chicago, bro. I don't think you want flames scattering throughout Streeterville. Yeah,
that's what you don't want. You're right. You just don't want a gigantic tower of flame.
You don't get the bonfire scent in that part of Chicago. You know, probably want to go out to the burbs for something like that.
But it's
nice.
You theoretically could do it, but if there's drippage, you're going to have to get it off the glass in the thing down there. That's the only deal. But it's nice.
It's very nice.
The problem is that by the end of the evening, there's the danger that because we imbibe on this program, I don't know if you're aware of this, and it's a problem. It's not healthy. I would like to warn the kids, don't go into radio, and certainly do not join this program if you care about your health or your liver.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's fun, though.
It is. Yeah, it's fun while it lasts. And the thing is that we have, on more than one occasion, almost lost someone in the fire pit. Falling forward.
I think I could jump over it.
Kevin.
I've been working out.
How many times were you part of that?
Check out my vertical row.
It was a lot. Kevin was a lot of that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we've had some times out there. And we're going to get to, and this summer is going to be no different.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Get the fog machine going.
Yep. My neighbors love it.
Get noise complaints.
Oh, God, my neighbors love it. The neighbors, they walk by. There's one neighbor who's been assigned to just walk back and forth. And keep staring.
He's the guy who flags down security.
Right.
And Rokan's back at it with those hooligans from his little radio show.
Get a phone call. There are loud voices out there. I go, it's radio.
It's radio.
What do you want?
We're practicing.
Yeah.
We're getting reps in over here.
Right.
Join the Architect.
It's, as the president likes to, it's called rehearsal.
It's called
rehearsal. All right. So anyway, go to WGNradio.com. and slash contests and apply for the deck. You can get the deck. Think about that. That's pretty great.
That's an awesome deal.
That is a nice thing.
It's a nice surprise.
All right, coming up, Mark McKinnon from the circus is going to join us here in just a few minutes. Behind the headlines and behind the scenes, he's going to tell us what's going on. And Mike Monaco, fresh back from the Michael Cohen hearing.
But is he coming with his purple scarf?
Is going to be in studio with us. So, and if you're on the CLTV, you're watching on the CLTV, you get to see him fall asleep in the studio, as well as get to see him fall asleep like he did.
You should do the interview. We can position the cameras where he's sitting behind you, much like he was with Michael Cohen, and he can just kind of lean in for every response and talk into your ear. We'll do it that way for the CLTV folks.
Yeah, maybe we will. I will ask them if they can actually get away with that. That would be kind of fun. All right. That's all coming your way. Oh, and we do have, speaking of that, a big Knarble today. Knarble wagon is rolling. See, Jen, it's not when you if you've been here the last couple of weeks, you realize that there is that there's, you know, there's real alcohol. There's real things that happen on this show.
Yeah,
they don't make this up.
Yeah. People go, do you guys really, they don't really drink on the Knarble wagon, do they? It's against the law. It's actually
not against the law.
No, it is not against. If it were against the law, Harry Carey would have gotten a life sentence.
I mean, for some people at their jobs, they might not be able to drink, but it's radio. Like,
right.
We're supposed to.
And listen, we have to.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, it's almost medically mandated if you're going to work in radio. Because, you know, there's the dangers and the stresses of the job.
Yeah.
It's physically strenuous. It wears you out throughout the week. So when 5 o'clock comes on a Friday, you're ready to kick back a little bit.
Yeah, you don't know how your larynx is going to handle it.
And push buttons and move microphones around. It's exhausting work.
Exactly right. Also in the 4 o'clock hour, this is very important. Stay tuned for this right at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to talk to Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine McHenry Hospital about two things. About the flu has had a resurgence here. And if you have had the flu shot, you might not be covered.
Oh, jeez.
So, but they're going to tell you, get the flu shot anyway, because it's going to knock down your symptoms. We've actually seen that on the show here.
We're dropping like flies.
Yeah. So the people who had the flu shot are getting through this faster than the people who did not have the flu shot. So we're going to have Dr. Irfan Haviz on to talk about this. And Susie Sunshine is going to count your money, too, in the 4 o'clock hour. And Chaz Palminteri is going to be here as well. So stick around. Just keep it on all afternoon. And turn it down if we get too boisterous.
I'm already intimidated just seeing Chaz's name on the rundown. I'm already nervous.
Like something's going to happen?
He's, you're like prototypical tough guy.
Yeah, he is. He's the sweetest guy ever, though.
Is he?
That's the funniest thing about him. You would never... all those guys who played tough guys.
Super nice.
Oh, my God. The nicest guys in the world. Frank Vincent, who was in all of these movies as well. Mm-hmm. And he was the guy that was it Billy Batts or Johnny Batts or whatever he was from the Goodfellas.
Goodfellas, yeah.
Yeah. Go get your shine box, that guy.
Oh, right.
Nicest guy in the world.
All right.
He would actually say to you, do you have a shine box? Because if you don't, I'll get you one.
Excuse me, kind sir. Would you like a shine box?
And if you had a shine box, I'll go get it with you.
All right, that makes me relax a little bit.
All right, we're going to talk to Mark McKinnon coming up in just a second. But first, let's check in to Eric Rung, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Whoops. Amtrak says human error caused the massive delays yesterday for those trying to get in and out of Union Station. That story and more coming up at 3:30 from the WGN Newsroom.
He is indeed. That music means that Mark McKinnon is joining us from the circus, which you see on Showtime on Sunday nights. It's the best half hour on television, and it digests everything that you saw that happened in this crazy thing in Washington over the last week, just one week at a time. 30 minutes, and they scope the week, and they tell you what's happening not just in Washington, but around the world, literally around the world, as it pertains to all of these things, including the Russia investigation and this, the wackiness of Congress. And I will point out, Mr. McKinnon, that coming up right after you is Michael Monaco. And I know you spent some time he's back in Chicago. He's in studio, and we're going to do this. Actually, Kevin had a really good idea. We're going to do this by Kevin Powell in for Anna DeVlantis today. We are, I'm going to sit, and he's going to sit in back of me. And then answer the questions.
By whispering in your ear.
Right, by whispering in my ear.
As if you were his client.
Just the same way he did that with Michael Cohen.
I love it. Wait, by the way, please tell him that MCAT said he's a well-dressed man. He's got a little flair going. I like that.
He does. Well, you know what? The thing is, his scarf, he left his scarf at one point in the hearing room all by itself. Fox News had a camera on the scarf to make sure nothing ever went. And all I could think about was you were going to steal his scarf.
I would have. I was trying to. They just wouldn't let me in the room. But I love his scarves, man. I like a man who wears a scarf, as you know.
He's a well-dressed man, yeah. All right,
we're trying to make scarves great again.
I'll be the last to buy that hat. All right, let's talk about what we got going on here. The development today is pretty, I think, fascinating, but I would imagine the president's not going to be too terribly happy about it. Felix Sater. He was a business partner of the president on the Trump Soho in New York, that hotel and condo development and hotel condo development. There's apparently an email in which he talks about engineering the win of Donald Trump and calling Vladimir Putin about it. That can't be good.
No. And by the way, you probably saw that Adam Schiff is going to have him testify publicly, I think not next week, but the week after that, which will be the close of our run of show. So that'll be a great little bookend for us. This week was incredible. I mean, in a lot of ways, I think kind of as dramatic on level of election night in terms of just theatrics and drama and surprise. And the nation being glued to the television and seeing what was going on. It was fascinating. And Michael Cohen's just a very compelling character, in so many ways. And so you can imagine that's the bulk of our episode. I was going to go to Vietnam, and now I'm really glad I didn't, because we had to deploy all of us here in Washington to kind of cover all the bases here, because there was so much going on. And we spent a lot of time with Emily Jane Fox, who I know Michael knows well, because she's the Cohen whisperer, at least on the reporting side. He is on the attorney side, but she talks about the new legal team and kind of what they're doing, and so we got a lot of insight from her. She was on the phone and off the phone with Cohen throughout, and so just we had a very interesting ending interview. You'll see with Andy McCabe. Not about his book tour, but about all this and what it means and kind of throwing it forward. And I think I'd be interested to hear what Monica has to say, but I think what a lot of people are saying is that this week just, it wasn't closure, it was opening. I mean, it just created a whole bunch of new tributaries like the one you just mentioned on the Trump Tower deal in Moscow and Putin. And so, there's just so many new questions and so many new avenues down which prosecutors will be tumbling that it just continues to be incredibly fascinating.
On an unrelated note, as a guy who ran a number of political campaigns for Republicans over the years and quite successfully for George W. Bush in 2000, probably the high water mark, right? The two things I want to ask you about that. First, CPAC is going on this week in Maryland, and that's the conservative. It's basically the conservative convention of the year. The president is going to speak there tomorrow. The vice president was there today. But also Michelle Malkin, who is a pundit, a conservative pundit and writer, author of books and things like that. She danced on the grave of John McCain. And do we have that? I just want to play this because I know that you worked for John McCain. You have a great personal affinity for the senator, and I want your reaction to this.
Cities have metastasized, and both parties are to blame. And yes, I'm looking at you, retired Paul Ryan. And yes, I'm looking at you, Mitch McConnell. And yes, I'm looking at you, Bush family. And yes, I'm looking at you, the ghost of John McCain.
What happened to your party there, Mark?
Well, I don't know. And I was over there at CPAC. I was over there all day yesterday. And it's just remarkable to see how different it is than the party that I knew and signed up for. And it is just it wasn't really CPAC, it was TPAC. It was Trump, yeah. Trump PAC. And, you know, this is the kind of Coachella of conservatives. And, but it's a completely different party than it was just 4 or 5 years ago.
Do you think that CNN is trolling Republicans by putting on the Bush series? Like, remember what the party used to be like? Remember when you were like this? Because it looks like it's a glowing tribute.
I'm in a lot of that, so I'm actually kind of curious to see it because it's all about the Bush family, and so I had a lot of thoughts about that. But that's rolling out in the next week or two.
Right, and it looks like it's a glowing tribute, which is interesting because you want to see. CNN is playing a little against type because I think a lot of conservatives think that CNN is, totally a liberal network, and they're gonna air this thing, which was produced in part by, one of the Bush kids, the grandchildren generation of George H.W. Bush, and it looks like a beautiful piece about service and obviously there could be warts and all, I'm sure, about the Gulf War, but it's. Very much, the promos at least make it seem like it's a very, very positive thing. So, well, we'll see.
I wasn't always a Republican. It was George W. Bush and his message. I mean, I worked for Ann Richards when she was governor of Texas. But it was George Bush and his message about compassionate conservatism that drew me and a lot of others into the party. And that compassion is gone now. So it leaves a lot of us, who came there for the compassion, wondering where to go.
You're right. And there really isn't a place to go because Alexandria Ortiz-Cortez or why can't I get it right?
Alexandria
Ocasio-Cortez.
AOC seems to be taking us in a totally different direction on the left, right? It's sort of like, what do you do now? Where do you go?
You'll like our episode next week because we're going to really explore that. I think we're going to call it, Leftward Ho is going to be the next episode, and we're going to really go deep on where the Democratic Party's going. And, that creates a huge opportunity for Trump, remarkably.
Without question. All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Mark. We'll talk to you next week.
I'm going to dial you up live. I want to hear Monica.
Yeah, dial up. But, on TuneIn or on any of those, WGN Radio app. I don't know why you don't have it. He's standing out here right now. He's got three scarves on. Three scarves.
Oh, I'm a double. I've double scarfed. I've never triple scarfed.
Oh, you got to see it. He's the only guy who can pull it off. All right. Thank you very much, Mark. Talk to you. Bye.
Kick it hard. Carry on regardless.
I like that.
This is the best. All right. Let's check in now. Here is Eric Rung. He's got the WGN News. New theme song. Sharp dressed man. Lawyer to the stars.
Thank you, Ro.
Thank you, Mike Monaco.
How are you, Kevin?
It is really an honor to have you in studio, even though I've had you in studio 500,000 times.
Exactly.
You even co-hosted this show. I've been explaining to everybody. I cannot tell you how many people I heard from years and years and years ago. Hey, is that Mike Monaco who's in back of Michael Cohen?
Well, we have a show group text, and half of our texts over the past few days have been about Mike Monaco being on TV and the infamous purple scarf.
It is amazing how many people were watching and what an effect I think Wednesday had.
Okay, so let's, to the degree you can talk about this, it does seem to have changed the narrative. And even as much as there was a story that came out from a Korea expert saying that testimony may have actually impacted, sped along the end of that negotiation, not on Donald Trump's part, but on Kim Jong-un's part.
Really?
Yeah. That Kim Jong-un, they watch this very carefully there. They watch, and they want to know who they're dealing with. And what obviously the United States is different because every 4 or 8 years you get a new leader and maybe a change in direction. When clearly we did have a big change in direction, right? The last couple of elections. So there is some concern that this is crazy that some potentate dictator is concerned about it. I mean, they should be worried about the United States, not concerned for us. But they're not concerned if he's going to be here long enough to be able to cut a deal.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So what is your what do you think the biggest impact that your client had on all of this?
Well, I assume it would be regarding Trump's involvement in the campaign finance violations that my client pled guilty to. We produced two checks, one written by the president in August of 2017.
Mm-hmm. After he was president.
After he was president of the United States. Mm-hmm. And one written in March of 2017 by, and written on the revocable trust account, which presumably should not be used to benefit the president, since it's a revocable trust that he supposedly created so that his company could continue running while he's president, and the people in charge of the company, in this case it was Don Jr. and Alan Weisselberg, signed the check to him, $35,000 check to him, which was the monthly amount that Weisselberg came up with.
I saw your co-counsel yesterday, Lanny Davis, talk about he characterized the House Intel Committee testimony yesterday that was behind closed doors. You went down in the bunker in the basement. Can you tell us what the passcode is?
Yes,
down there?
Yes, I was there with it. It was interesting. It is funny.
But he said it was very significant, that there are significant outcomes from that.
There may be. It's hard to tell. I was there. I was there also Tuesday when he did the Senate Intel, which mm-hmm. is, in both instances, you cannot bring a phone in. So people are without phones, and for Lanny, that's not easy to be without a phone.
It appears.
Yeah.
What did you think of all the beating up of Lanny Davis at the beginning of the public testimony?
Well,
Wednesday.
Prior to the hearing on Wednesday, Congressman Jordan, the ranking member, sent out a letter saying he was going to do that. He was going to attack, and trying to, I guess, scare my client from testifying, because mm-hmm. he had all these allegations against him relating to his prior conviction, and also relating to Lanny Davis, and that
Lanny Davis is a friend of the Clintons. This is a Clinton thing.
Yes,
that's what they. That's for those who didn't catch this. Jim Jordan from Ohio, conservative. Right. He is the minority leader on this House committee, right. And he is ranking member. I guess
that's
they call
what they call it.
Yeah.
Ranking member.
The ranking member of the committee. He said that Lanny Davis parading Michael Cohen into here at the behest of the Democrats on the committee, it's all because Hillary Clinton wants to get even for losing an election she shouldn't have lost, and Lanny Davis was with the Clintons, and this is clearly just payback.
That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what
I think a lot of people believe him.
Well, people who are behind the president might believe him, I suppose. Right. It makes no sense, but maybe they do.
He didn't seem to. Lanny Davis didn't seem to really be upset about it.
No, and he didn't play a real part in we thought that any time they spend attacking Lanny Davis because each congressman only got 5 minutes.
Right.
Any time they spend attacking Lanny Davis is positive time for the client, since they're not attacking the client. And they had no real effort to go after any of the evidence that the client produced, that our client produced on Wednesday. The checks, the background information about the president, the fact that he used the foundation as a really a personal checking account.
Which you're not supposed to do.
No, it's
you
a,
told
it's
me
a
that
charitable
once.
Account.
Yeah.
It's for charity. Mm-hmm. And he's using it to put money in and take money out at his own decision-making, and that has nothing to do with charity. It was just as his own benefit.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate.
Well, that's a nice way of putting it. Where does that go from here?
Well, I assume the state prosecutors in New York,
the state prosecutors,
state
or the federal prosecutors,
state
Southern
prosecutors
district?
In New York, okay. Are investigating some of these points. We know the Southern District, of course, the federal prosecutors are going after other matters, and I think I think Mueller is out of it now. I think it's just those two people.
So Mueller, you think is done with what he's doing?
I think Mueller's done with whatever my client has to do. Yes,
well, with you, with yes. your side of this case. Yes. So Michael Monaco, I will ask you this: do you think that your client Michael Cohen hurt his credibility by leaving open the option of doing books and movies and stuff about this in the future? Because Republicans were really on the committee were really going after him about that.
Yeah, that was sort of funny, I thought. I mean, no, you're not. You can't make any money about this. The fact that you're in this position in America in 2019, you should not be able to make money on it. I mean, I suppose they can argue.
That's everybody who walks away from the Trump administration writes a book. Have you seen that?
I mean,
it's like...
He wouldn't be the only one.
Yeah. Or Andrew McCabe, too. I mean, I don't, and I know that Republicans have been very critical about the people writing books and trying to profit off of this, but the reality of it is that everybody writes a book now. And because it's almost, there's so much traffic in this and interest in details here, whether it's defending the president or attacking the president.
Yeah.
People want, you know, they when they're walking by the Hudson News at the airport, that's all. The racks are just filled with them.
And as my client said, he's been contacted by TV producers and movie producers. You know, everybody wants him. I'm curious though. What do you think the average citizen thought of Mr. Cohen's testimony?
Kevin, you're the average citizen.
I am the average citizen. I guess some of the critics I've heard is why did he do it?
Why did he do it?
To clear his name? What was the main objective for your client?
Well, I suppose he was asked to testify, and they could have subpoenaed him, I suppose. The Senate did subpoena him. And he really feels that it's part of history, that it's important to tell the truth about the president. And that's what he's doing. He's telling the truth about the president.
He's unburdening himself, would you say?
I think so, in part. I mean, the other part is that hopefully that he will not be seen only as a criminal. He'll be seen as someone who stepped up in the face of immense pressure by the President of the United States, that the President called him a rat in writing to all of his 60 million, how many millions of Twitter followers he has. And the president called him a rat, which is not a good thing for someone who's about to go to jail. And so that was unfortunate. But the president is not, it seems like he's just not one of the worst presidents of all time, but he's just not a
nice man.
Just not a nice person.
He's not a nice man.
And how about this fellow Getz? What a horrible...
Okay, I want to ask you about that, too, now. Congressman Getz is the...
It was Gates. Wasn't that clear a couple of nights? Didn't we say Gates was the...
All right, Congressman Gates drops that Twitter bomb on Tuesday. Hey, listen up here, Michael Cohen. Does your wife know and father-in-law know about all your girlfriends? That's going to come out, essentially, right. Is what he said. And then he had to take it down. He had to apologize.
And he apologized.
Right,
yes.
Because people started saying, hey, that's intimidating a witness.
Yeah.
Which may or may not be, but it's... But
of course it is. Why do you think he did it the day before the client was supposed to...
Hours
supposed
before.
To testify?
Your Honor, please.
Yeah.
This is on Twitter. Who could see it? Anyway, the point is the...
And then he apologized.
He apologized.
Yeah.
But then, after he did all that, after he took it down and apologized, he... walked through the hearing room.
He was there
when you guys were walking in,
yeah.
And he was like glad-handing people. He's not on that committee. What did you make it? What did you and or your client, if you can speak on that,
He mentioned to the media not long before the testimonies that he wanted to speak. He wanted to ask questions, and the Republicans did not ask the chairman, Congressman Cummings, if this fellow could speak, because, as you say, he's not a member of the committee, so he would need permission to speak, and they didn't ask him for permission. We wondered if they were when he showed up, if they're going to ask him for permission to speak, but he never did. And then later that day, he sent an apology to Michael, apologizing for what he had said.
And nothing came up about that.
No, nothing. Of course, nothing. It's not true. It's not at all true. And he did it, obviously just a. just to scare my client out of testifying. It's just And apparently, I don't know if the president was part of it or not, but there was some other link apparently to the president.
It's like out of a movie, the whole thing.
Oh, it's out of it's amazing.
It's out of a good movie, though. I got to tell you that right now.
I'd watch that. Maybe a four-part series.
It's a pretty good movie. You know, it's like one of those Scorsese kind of deals. It's pretty good.
But I'm hopeful that the people who followed it would find that Michael Cohen did speak truthfully. I'm hopeful that
Michael Monaco, legal analyst of this radio show for the last 20 years, and now Michael Cohen's attorney. No nexus between those two things.
Yeah. No longer Jussie's.
Smollett's former attorney.
Exactly.
That's very good news. But you're going back next week, right?
Yes, Tuesday. Wednesday's testifying.
Yeah, what's next?
Wednesday's testifying to the House Select Committee.
This is Intelligence Committee. That's again behind closed doors.
Congressman Schiff's committee behind closed doors.
You're in the basement again?
We are. It is a very much guarded area. Yes.
Is it like those movies where everybody's like in a glass box?
There's no windows. No windows in the room.
So paint the picture of the room. What can you tell
us? The room is pretty.
I'm intrigued now.
It's a long room with the Republicans on one side, Democrats on the other, and in a long, two long tables, and we're at one corner of it, and Congressman Quigley's there from Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and. Raja's there.
Yeah, from Christian Murthy.
Murthy from the North. He was in both committees, actually.
Right, he was.
He was in the both committees. He asked some good questions.
He's getting a lot of FaceTime on this.
Yeah, I thought he asked, and he was a very nice man. I thought he asked some good questions.
We did notice, I mean, it did not miss our observation that when Ocasio-Cortez.
Sort of sing it out
whenever
loud.
Whenever she did anything, the media went nuts.
They followed her every step
she took.
When the chairman said, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez from New York, we did notice that you sat up in your chair. We did notice that you woke back up,
obvious?
And then you looked over and is she there?
My son Brian was there. He was there. He came in. He flew in for it. And
how you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was there too. Everybody was very interested.
It was very interesting.
Very interesting.
I have no idea what she asked.
Yeah,
but
I know. She had some good questions. She asked about who else knew
finance, right?
She asked about who else knew. Pointing the picture so that other people may be subpoenaed. Who else knew about these things? And that was a good question.
Mark Meadows always seems to be yelling. Is he like that outside of the actual hearing? I mean, it doesn't seem like he talks to anyone. It's just, let's yell at everyone. I'm angry.
Yes, I know. He brought this woman in who apparently Mr. Cohen had helped get a job in the Trump organization, then helped her get a job in the White House. And she was accused of being a pawn, you know, by...
Yeah, it's a puppet.
A puppet,
yes.
By other folks. And one thing my client did ask her, as he said to Congressman Meadows, ask her how many black executives there are in the Trump organization. And the answer is none. I mean, so that's... Many of the things my client talked about are things that everybody knows. Everybody knew that. Everybody knew that for years. You know, from when he attacked the president as being
actually,
a birther and everything else.
It's interesting. There's a woman who used to worked on and off as the chief financial officer, I think, at one point, or chief operating officer of the Trump organization. She's been on TV a lot recently. An older lady who's, you know, she's real plain spoken, like New York kind of tough herself. And she was like, listen, you know, it was different in the 80s. People told jokes like that. People were always telling jokes. They didn't necessarily use the N-word, but it was a different thing. Everybody made fun of blacks and Jews. And then I'm like, oh my God, she's making it worse.
that's not helping.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So, but Mark Meadows, he did bring her in. I thought it would have been good if she took the sunglasses off the top of her head because she looked like she was just walking in from lunch. You know,
that's the way it seemed.
You know, it looked
they found someone walking through the hall.
The hall.
This is the profile we're looking for.
Come on, come out of here. Yeah, you just stand there and don't say anything.
Yeah.
So Meadows then started crying in the middle of the. He got all emotional.
He got emotional when the congresswoman
Tlaib
from Michigan. accused him of bringing this woman in as a, and it's really interesting. If you look at one,
well, he called him, she called Mark Meadows a racist, and he didn't like that. And it turns out that Mark, and then all of a sudden we found out there was a buddy pic in the middle of all of
this
buddy picture. It turns out that the chairman
Cummings, who's African American, is very close friends with Meadows, apparently.
Right. And they apparently they sup together and do things like that.
Apparently, but if you look at the interesting
wait till Meadows people find out about that. Wait till his constituents find out about that.
I know from North Carolina because then a lot of other things came out where he was very sort of not racist, but sort of anti Obama and anti during when he was running for office.
Yes, we have that. We have. Let's just play that because it reminds people.
We're going to send Mr. Obama home to Kenya or wherever it is. We're going to do it.
Mark Meadows. Yeah, I'm not a racist.
No, I'm not a racist.
Send him back to Kenya.
Just the vision of it. I'm in the huge room, and on one side of the Republicans, just two white women, no African-Americans at all, all mostly white men. On the other side, you have all these folks who are Democrats, and there's, a lot of women, a lot of young women,
can I try your scarf on? That's my last
question.
Okay, beautiful.
Can you get a picture, put it on the social media?
Yeah,
I wanted to get your scarf at Twitter page. I thought that would be a fun thing to have.
That'd
Mike
be nice.
Monaco's scarf. Michael Monaco, I always say famed attorney.
Yeah.
And now world famous attorney.
The legend is growing.
Kim Jong-un's calling, wants to know if you'll represent him.
Where did he get the scarf?
I love the guy. He had a nice scarf. Putin is calling. I want the guy with scarf to come. I will trade scarf for baby giraffe.
Opulence.
Thank you, Michael Monaco.
Care. Nice
Thank you.
Care,
nice to see you. All right, let's check in now. Let's find out from Eric Rung what's coming up in the news.
A guilty verdict for a man who shot a Chicago cop several years ago. That story and more coming up at 4 o'clock from the WGN Newsroom.
Somebody get me a doctor, and I've got one right here. All right. I want everybody to calm down here for a second. Anna is off because her daughter got the flu, and then she got the flu, and they both had the flu shot. And that scared me because I had the flu shot.
So did I.
We all did.
Dr. Most came in here.
It was a big thing for us to get the flu shot around here. And yet, there seems to be a mutation in the flu that's making a lot of people sick, and it's freaking people out. Dr. Irfan Hafiz is the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine McHenry Hospital. And I don't know how much you're seeing out in McHenry, doctor, but this certainly, a little bit of a surprise late in the season, right?
A little bit. I mean, it varies season to season. Certainly, it's not outside of expected there. Typically, we do see this a few weeks earlier, but it can vary season to season.
And what has happened here in terms of the flu season? What is this? Is this a mutated virus that's now entering in that wasn't covered in the flu shot?
Well, yes and no. Couple of things. I mean, we typically do have three types of viruses that they cover for, and their subtypes, because there's a lot of variation with the influenza viruses that are out there. So when the manufacturers do select next year's vaccination, they're looking at the most common and prevalent one. So yes, it does reduce your likelihood of being hospitalized, especially death. That is the primary end goal there. Certainly also reduces the duration of symptoms, but it doesn't always guarantee you're not going to get ill, but certainly still helps out a lot.
So you would suggest people get this no matter what. Even if people are going to get sick, they would have been much sicker without the flu shot.
Correct. And when they've looked at trials and looked at populations where you compared vaccinated to unvaccinated, certainly the number of deaths, the number of hospitalizations, the number of days lost at work are significantly less in the population that was vaccinated.
Well, for those of us who did get the flu shot, where do we go from here? Is there anything we can do? anything to help kind of fight this thing off? I'm worried now, Doc.
Yeah. I think you're doing the right thing in terms of getting vaccinated ahead of the season, because then you don't want to get vaccinated too late, because your body doesn't have time enough to ramp up that training and that immunity that you want to be effective when you encounter the virus. But, of course, once we're in the middle of flu season, certainly if someone is ill, they shouldn't be in public places or at work, and especially until their fever is resolved. So we're reducing the spread. Hand washing, using hand sanitizers also go a long way in that, in reducing that spread.
Hazmat suit all day, 24 hours.
That's what I'm in. Yeah. That's I do get some funky looks though, like on the street. But
yeah,
but
then you laugh right back, right, and well, like, look at you getting exposed to a new flu strain,
breathing things in. Are you? But here's the question a lot of people have, because there's confusion when people say the flu. They think it's like a gastrointestinal thing. They think it's diarrhea and throwing up and stuff like that. And there's something in the marketplace right now that seems to be affecting. I'm hearing a lot of people are getting sick for a couple of days with some sort of gastrointestinal issue. That is not the influenza that we're talking about. It's not the flu. The flu is it happens in your lungs, and it's a whole body kind of problem. It's high fever, right? Those are the dangerous things. What do we know about this stomach flu thing that's going around, though?
Yeah, so, in the winter months, it is pretty common to get other viral illnesses that are not influenza-related. There are some of them that do cause, a 24-hour stomach bug and things like that. Those are fairly common to occur as well, and those are, as you just said, are very commonly misinterpreted as being the flu, when indeed influenza has very little stomach issues there. It's a sudden onset of shaking, chills, high fever, body aches, with complications, can give rise to breathing issues, especially in elderly or the extremely young. That's really influenza. But there are a lot of non-influenza seasonal illnesses going around. That is, which the vaccine is not going to do anything for.
No. Well, why in the winter does that stomach flu, that 24-hour bug, hit?
Yeah, a lot of infectious diseases do have seasonal variation, and that's always kind of been that way. Now, there are certain other bugs that you do see during the summer months, Rocky Mountain spotted fever and Lyme disease.
You're going to drive me crazy now. I'm a hypochondriac already. I'm going to start mentioning these things. I'm going to start getting all the symptoms. But I do think it's like there's two things. Like when people are stuck indoors, like cruise ships, when one person gets a stomach bug in a cruise ship, the entire ship has to pull into a port, and ambulances have to line up on the docks, right? It's just it's one of those kinds of deals. That's that norovirus thing. We'd like to avoid that. Hey, all right, doctor, thank you very much. Appreciate it. I want to ask you just really quickly, measles. This is one of the reasons we called here. There was somebody that had measles.
Midway.
At Midway. And then there was a hospital. Should we really be concerned about that?
With the specific case, yes. I think measles, certainly we are seeing more cases of measles nationally. We are seeing that, especially with drops in vaccination rates. There are more susceptible people now than they were in the recent past. But it's not to the extent of general alarm because there's one case. Certainly the public health system is looking into those and looking for those who may have been exposed to that and contacting those people.
But if you've been vaccinated, you're okay, right?
If you're vaccinated, you're more than likely to be okay. Those measles vaccinations are actually very, very effective, except for some extremely rare circumstances.
Yeah, and so I just do not understand this at all, the anti-vaxxer thing. See, Facebook's going after them now. Like, all right, we're not going to spread this stuff because it's dangerous. It's dangerous. You could die from the measles. People think, oh, it's the measles. It's bumps. It's not. It's a very serious disease, and it affects major organs. Does it not, doctor? Why am I telling you this? You're the doctor.
Yes. can cause brain damage and respiratory problems. There can be very severe, debilitating complications.
Right. There you go. All right, Doctor. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it, sir.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Thank you, Dr. Irfan Haviz.
Speaking of anti-vaxxers, I'm looking forward to talking about Vary Cavallari a little bit later on in the show. Season two.
I like how you worked that in.
Yeah, a little tease. That's a radio tease.
You know what that is? That's nice. You just, it was like, that's like a verbal crossfade is what you just did right
Cavallari.
There. Hey, we're going to Vary Cavallari. It's gonna, season two.
The trailer for it?
Oh,
so good.
Richard Roper will be here. He's seen the whole thing, I think, already.
Most
of it.
Premieres Sunday night.
Oh, man.
Get Jay Cutler in a broadcast booth already. Put him in the Monday Night Football booth.
Did you see people were joking about him being in the Monday Night Football booth? But they were doing it to troll him.
Right, like, but these are the things that happened in 2019 with social media. People turned something like a joke into a reality. Now people are like, no, I think that'd be a really cool idea. Put Jay Cutler in.
Let me tell you something. They did that in 2016, too.
I knew you were going to go.
All right, let's check in now. Here's Eric Rung in the newsroom. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
The search is on for two men. Chicago police say tried to kidnap a young girl. More on that and more at 4:30 from the WGN newsroom.
There she is, Susie Sunshine, or Susan Schmidt, as she's really better known in the international finance world. Although, didn't you tell me that somebody made you as Susie Sunshine at one of those...
one of those big international events?
Yeah, like one of those big, right, one of those kind of meetings. It's like, hey, that's Susie Sunshine! Which is pretty good. I like that. It means that the branding is working. All right, let us talk now about a couple things that are happening here. Susan, of course, is the head of U.S. Equities at Aviva Investors, and she is our financial analyst here at the program. If you look at your 401k, you haven't looked at it in a couple of months, it's back up again, right? The market is actually pretty healthy.
Great, nothing happened. We're all good.
Yeah, what was that? I thought we were going into a recession. We're not, are we?
I know, apparently we're not. So the market is back in full confidence mode, risk on, investing is good, and the market has forgotten the woes of December, and really we've done nothing but just rebound as we come into the year here. So year to date, we are up, you know, almost 12% between the Dow and the S&P, NASDAQ up even more. The tech stocks have really rebounded at 14.5% since the start of the year. So we've really seen confidence come back. Apparently all that fear that we had at the end of December has just melted away.
Hmm. What is that based on? Do we have any idea? Or we just...
Well, Ro, did you get out of the market? Have you stopped talking about it now? Because I know you're prone to panic. So.
Listen, if anybody's going to panic, it's going to be me. But I don't think that... as my investor people tell me, you're a long-term investor. So every month I get like some sort of statement, and then I look at it and I go, why aren't we performing like that? And I call them and I'm like, the market's up. Why are we not up? You are a long-term investor. It's not about making quick profits like these. And I'm like, the market is up since 2008. The market is up like 140%, right? And since 2008, I'm flat, and I want answers.
Hey, but see, that's the risk, because when you panic, you go to cash, and then when things go up, you miss it. Now, you also miss it when things go down, but usually they've already gone down by the time you get out of your stocks. That's what makes you get out of them. So that's a bad approach, and you're... Advisors are right to tell you, think long term. You've got to ride it out. And this is a great example of how much volatility we're going to see and we're going to keep seeing. Because remember, this was all predicated on nervousness over the China trade deal, what was going to happen in the government, what's going to happen with Brexit, and then what's going to happen with global growth. So fast forward into the beginning of March, we're just 2 months off of that Christmas Eve low. And we're back to things with China look pretty good. The market's confident that some sort of deal will get done. Brexit seems to be on pause for a minute. The concerns over a hard Brexit, a breakup between England and the rest of the European Union, isn't going to be so abrupt. We'll figure something out. And people are feeling a little bit better about growth out of China.
Okay. Kevin's got a question about Bitcoin.
Where's it at? How's it doing? My life savings have all been invested into that, Susan. That and Weed Coin, I believe it's called. Any updates there?
Kevin, we really need to talk about this some more, and you need to listen when I'm talking. So Bitcoin, unfortunately, has had a tumultuous run. We've seen the peak, and now we're well past it. And Bitcoin really just has no support in the market. So we continue to see it, you know, $3,000, $4,000 level. And
what?
Sorry, Kevin.
Bought it at $12,000 because we were so excited about it.
Remember that it almost hit $20,000, and now it's way back down. So this is what happens when hype overcomes something. What is interesting is that Jamie Dimon, head of JPMorgan Chase, came out and started talking about a type of Bitcoin that JPMorgan might issue. And what he's really talking about there is what Bitcoin is predicated on, and that's blockchain technology. It's effectively a fast way of accounting and allocating assets as they move. So when you write a check, instead of waiting to deposit it for the next person to get credit, it speeds that whole process up so that that money can transfer through more quickly. And JP Morgan's talking about doing something like that so that businesses can understand and get that money flowing through their accounts faster to the end recipient.
Not an actual Bitcoin.
Not really an actual Bitcoin.
How many graphics cards?
When you talk about that, you'll hear it, folks, but think about it more as a type of accounting.
How many graphics cards do I need to buy? Remember, like a year ago, I was in a computer store, and they were sold out of graphics cards because people were buying them because they were trying to make these Bitcoin mining
to solve the equation so that you could be earning, by solving the equation, more Bitcoin.
And you were using that as some sort of, don't ask me how it worked, but somehow you needed graphics cards for that, if you went to like Best Buy or Micro Center, whatever the case was that they had they had to put the graphics cards in cases, and
right.
then they, those
the lock cases.
Then the lock cases were broken into, and they were looted, and there were people literally having their electric meters were moving like meat slicers because they were just, it was 120 degrees in their bedrooms because they set up 1,000 of these things to try to mine, and now look at them. Now look at them.
I know they're going to be able to have a really cool video game setup, but that's about it.
I don't know how I feel about any of this. All right, so there we go. There, you answered every question that I had. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, guys.
Sorry,
stay out of the Bitcoin.
I know.
Sorry,
I'm
Kevin.
I'm feeling great. You know, I make all my financial decisions based off gut feel. That's how I make those moves, and sometimes they don't pay off, bro.
You know, I agree with you totally, Kev.
Hey, when somebody comes to you with a can't miss, no risk off, you go all in. You give them all your cash.
If you feel it in your gut, go for it.
Sometimes it doesn't pay off. I'm going to need a loan, bro.
Timeshare Exit Team bringing you Eric Rung's news right now. We made a major announcement, Kev.
You did?
At the start of the show.
Very exciting.
That we're giving away a deck from Archideck of Chicagoland, constructed by TimberTech. It's a 12 by 16 foot rectangular deck. And no deck is complete without a place to sit. So the prize package includes a 3-piece cushion sectional with a fire pit table from American Sail and their Bella collection, and also a Weber Spirit 2 Series gas grill from Weber.
Can't beat it.
Oh, my gosh.
Like that exact grill.
That's like,
and I love it.
Because thousands of dollars worth of stuff you can get. All you got to do is go to WGNradio.com/contests. You upload a picture of your current backyard that needs a makeover, and you get decked out for the summer. You could get decked out for the summer. One lucky contestant.
I've heard about the legendary Rokan parties, and on his Archideck, you could have your own parties.
Yeah,
your own.
That's a nice way of putting it. Thank you, Kim. Yes. Thank you for the plug. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. This is one of my favorite guys on the planet Earth. Chaz Palminteri is joining us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline, and it really is a super celebrity. So rarely does that happen. A Bronx Tale, which is, I think, Chaz, we've talked about this before, but I always have to mention this when I see you, which is I knew a guy, once he got out of jail, he used to be in the outfit, as we like to say here in Chicago, and I got to know him through, you know, talk shows, and he wrote a book and stuff. And I said to him, you know, I said, well, what's your favorite movie? What's the movie that you think best encapsulates what that experience is like? And he said, without question, A Bronx Tale. Because it's because A Bronx Tale tells the real story about how seductive that kind of a life can be. And you see it not just in, you know, in like, you know, the organized crime from Europe or from Italy, but you see it in gangs too. You see how guys who are flashing money and living their lives are able to seduce these young kids who are at risk of you know, falling for it. Amazing stuff.
Yeah, it's very true. You know, but the thing that's different about Bronx Tale, and I think that's why it's lasted for 30 years, is that Sonny tells the boy the same exact advice that the father does. The same exact advice. You know, Sonny doesn't want the boy to be in organized crime. He doesn't want the boy involved. He wants the boy to get out of the neighborhood and really go to college and get out and live a good life. And that's what makes Bronx Tale so different. It's not about black and white. It's about gray and gray, where the boy takes the best of the father, the best of Sonny, and he becomes his own man, you see.
Yeah, that's a brilliant thing. Now, he brought it to the stage and to great success as well. I mean, it's very rare that you know, great films can make that transition. What do you account for?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's the first time I'm going to be in the Guinness Book of Records that it's ever been done where the actor was in the play, written the play, the movie, and the musical. First time it's ever been done before where all three were, you know, made into a play, a movie, then a musical. So it's just a great story, you know. It's a great story. It's a coming-of-age tale. It's a cautionary tale. I encourage parents to bring their kids, 12 years old and up, 11, 12, because they see, you know, they can understand about not wasting their life. You know, I have many fathers come over to me and women, parents say, you know, I brought my son to see a film, and he said he wasn't going to waste his life. He's going to study hard, and I want to thank you. And I'm kind of stunned by that when I hear that, you know. And it's just a great tale. It's been around 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And look, you have Alan Menken, 8-time Academy Award winner, who did the music. Glenn Slater, 3-time Tony nominee, did the lyrics. Sergio Trillo, three-time Tony nominee choreographer. Robert De Niro, who directed the movie. Jerry Zaks, who directed the one-man show, 4-time Tony winner, co-directed it. Tommy Mottola, the great producer, the Dodgers. I mean, I just got an A-team of people around me. I wrote the book. So it just works. I mean, people stand up and cheer at the end. They're crying. It's pretty amazing.
So De Niro directed the stage play as well, right?
Yes, he co-directed it with Jerry Zaks.
Wow.
That's correct.
Who knew?
Yeah.
What has that guy ever done?
Well, he's done a few things.
Now, Bronx Tale for me is one of those movies where if it's on TV, you're watching it. You get hooked immediately.
Right.
You know, I'm a millennial, and this movie is still one of my all-time favorites. I'm just going to sort of fanboy here. One of my all-time cinematic scenes is the Now You's Guys Can't Leave scene. Can you just talk about that scene? Because I love it, and it's almost turned into a social media meme type video. If there's a, you know, if there's a game on TV and a team's getting a beat down, people post that. Now these guys can't leave.
Exactly. You know, many times when I get on a plane, and when I'm on a plane, and as soon as the door closes, I hear the pilot go, "Now you can't leave." I hear that all the time. You know, when I go into a restaurant, and as I'm walking out, the guy says that to me. I mean, I see people yell that on the street to me. It's just like a lot of my quotes in Bronx Tale have definitely infiltrated the language in America. You know, you hear that all the time. Throw them in the bathroom. I've been mushed. You know, so I'm very flattered by that. You know, I'm very flattered. And that scene there is an actual scene that when I was sitting on the bar and these wise guys did that, you know, Sonny locked the door and looked at them and said, "Now you can't leave." I mean, and I will never forget, you know, the look on their faces, like I say in the movie, especially, that you could tell by their faces they realized that they screwed up. They walked into the wrong bar, you know, and the next minute was just absolute extreme prejudice on them. It was pretty crazy.
All right. So what made you think about making this into a musical? Why? Because Bronx Tale, like you said, you know, a play, a movie.
Yeah, well, it was such a great play and a one-man show. Then the movie came. De Niro saw the one-man show. and that's how we made the movie. And it was just a great story. You know, if you look at it, you know, it's everything. It's this is a part West Side Story, part Guys and Dolls, part Raisin. Everything is there. I mean, all the elements are there. And it was a unique story. Like I said, it wasn't about black and white. It was about gray and
but
gray.
Did you have a sense in your head of what the music would be like for that? And you know, like an Alan Menken.
Well, I knew Alan Menken would be the one. I always said Bronx Tale was a fable. You know, Bronx Tale was a fable. And for me, the guy who writes the greatest fables, even though they are animation, is Alan Menken.
Right.
You know,
all those Disney
films. Beautiful songs and great, you know, great songs, and I just thought he would be the guy, you know, and he read the book that I wrote for the musical. He loved it, and then Glenn Slater came in, and everybody got on board, and it just took it. Look, if you love the play, if you love the movie, the musical takes it even to another level. I was able to really elaborate on the relationship with my father, why my father used to say the saddest thing in life is wasted talent. You know, why Sonny said the things he said to me. You know, so I was able to actually talk about my mom and dad even more in the musical and song. So it's just a terrific movie, a terrific play. It really is. I mean, I guarantee it, you will laugh and you will cry. Guarantee. And you'll want to see it again. You'll definitely want to see it again.
Okay, so A Bronx Tale, the musical, is at the newly minted James M. Niederlander Theater. That is where, I know they don't like when I do this, but I got to do it anyway, because people get confused. They're like, the Niederlander? Where's that? Mm-hmm. That's where the Oriental was. It's on Randolph right there. It's been renamed and spruced up a little bit. And it is, what a great... I mean, that's the site of the oldest large theater in Chicago, and then it became the, it's just such an historic place to do this, and it is really, really great. And now this thing you'd been on Broadway.
Yes.
Right, with the musical, and to huge reviews, and now this is a limited engagement here, March 12th through the 24th. So if you want to see this, you got to get your tickets. You're almost sold out, I would imagine, here. So.
Well, we're selling out, so if you want your tickets, you got to get them fast, absolutely.
Yeah.
It'll be one of the great experiences you have in the theater, I guarantee it. I guarantee it. You will want to come back with your kids if you don't bring them the first time and see it again. No question.
And it's for all ages, for sure?
For 12 and up. 12 and all up. Ages.
Got it. All right. Yeah, because you don't want a baby there. That's the worst.
No. I would say 12 and up. Yeah, don't be fair.
That's it, right. And you know what? I'm
not a big theater goer, and I'm going to this.
You have to go. Listen to me. You have to go. You have to.
Hey, I heard you can't leave.
That was right.
So you regret it if you don't go, because you'll miss something really special, I'm telling you.
Oh man, I'm so it's just one of the great American pieces of work. Just period. It's one of the great pieces of art in American history. So
yeah, I mean, Alfred Hitchcock used to say, "There's only three things you could do to an audience, and if you do two out of three, you got a big hit." He says you can make them laugh, you can make them cry, or you could scare them. Those are the only three things you could do to an audience. And in Bronx Tale, we do all three. We make you laugh, we make you cry, and we scare you. So I mean, it is a piece that you must see.
All right, A Bronx Tale musical. Again, if you want to get tickets, go get them now, and you can do that at, you know, we're all fine. Tickets are sold on the internet. That's the most important thing. And for more information, BronxTaleTheMusical.com. That's a good place so you can see what's actually, you know, what it looks like and what the video and all that, you know.
Right. What's happening. I do want to tell the people, absolutely come, because there is a little surprise.
Uh-oh.
At the end. I don't want to say what it is. But there is a surprise at the end. And I want to tell all the Chicago people out there, all the Chicagoans, when you come to New York, come to my restaurant, Chaz Palminteri's, one of the best Italian restaurants in the city.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Chaz. Appreciate it, man, as always. All right, thanks, sir.
Bye.
A Bronx Tale, the musical. You can also go to BroadwayInChicago.com, too.
I'm watching that movie this weekend. It's what, you know, people talk about getting Shawshanked. Shawshank Redemption's on, you got to watch it.
Yeah.
These are one of those movies that fits into that profile. If it's on, you're watching it,
right? Because it's De Niro playing against type, it's in
legends,
his own way.
Yeah,
I mean, the old
school mob.
The whole thing's it's beautiful.
It's doing nice. Like,
yeah,
it's doing real nice.
Real nice, like over by there. Hey, let's check in now with Eric Rung. What's happening in the news at the top of the hour?
A judge takes the next steps in reforming the Chicago Police Department. That story coming up at 5 from the WGN Newsroom.
coming up, Stories That Matter with Eric Rung from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right. We mentioned that we're giving away a deck. Go to WGNradio.com/contest if you want to win a deck. You know, you hear all these stories about the deck parties that this show throws on my deck, my architect deck.
Had a few.
Yeah. And the things that have happened at those parties, things that we can no longer talk about.
Right.
We've even had people disappear, as it turns out.
We had to delete the deck pics.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The evidence of what happened.
Right.
We haven't even told half the stories on the air of what's going on Rose Architect.
Tell you something. The thing is, and the company kept saying, don't put up deck pics on social media. Don't put them up.
Deck
I'm like,
picks.
It's my deck.
Deck picks.
Right. It's my. I think Architect wants pictures of deck picks.
Of course they do. Promoting the brand.
I happen to have had lunch with the Architect people this week. And I said, yeah, no, one of the things we love to do is take the deck picks. And literally, Kristen Berryhill looked at me and she's like, what? What did you say?
Deck picks.
Deck picks. God's sakes. It's a, let me remind you, this is a 12 by 16 foot rectangular deck built by Architect of Chicagoland, constructed of TimberTech materials.
That's the good stuff.
It doesn't get better.
It's primo.
No deck is complete without a place to sit, right? You need a place to sit. So you're going to get a three-piece cushioned sectional. You're going to get a fire pit table from American Sail from their Bella collection. And you're going to be cooking on a brand new Weber Spirit 2 Series gas grill.
Can't beat it.
You know who makes that?
Weber.
Weber.
Sorry. Is it a trick question? Is there some other brand?
Well, that's the way they wrote it, which I really liked. It's a Weber Spirit 2 Series
Weber.
Grill from Weber. And I'm like, well, from who? Who else would it be? Not from Chevrolet.
I guess it's direct from Weber. Is what they're trying to say.
I guess Weber's providing it, you know, right. I guess in exchange for promotional consideration. But yes. Yeah, whatever.
I have this grill, Ro, and I love this grill. The Weber Spirit. I have that. It's phenomenal.
This is the Spirit, too.
That's the Spirit. I don't have the Spirit.
This is even better than yours. How about that?
Just the Spirit 1 guy.
Yeah.
But the Spirit series of Weber's dynamite.
I do, you know, it is funny because there are times I used to, my Weber, you know, the one trick with a Weber is you can get it hotter than it should be.
Right.
You can make it beyond what the limits are supposed to be with the Weber, right? Weber's got it's got a lot of instructions, got a lot of, don't do this, do that, don't do this, right? There's a lot of that. And what I do is I get it, like if all of a sudden flames are shooting out underneath the grill, please turn off the grill. Not me.
I like the sear on a steak.
You mean
so? I love the hotter it is, the better.
You get that thing going.
A nice char on it.
There's sometimes, and I got you know, when I got my deck, I got a nice fancy grill, but the problem is with that grill is that it obeys the rules.
You can't break code with it?
Yeah, no. And I like breaking code. And Weber's very clear. Hey, don't do this.
Right.
They tell me not to do it. But the thing is that, you know, if you're going to make it go fast, don't you want it to go fast?
I like a quick sear on my steak.
Yeah. All right. It's a beautiful thing. Really beautiful thing. And it's all brought to us by Architect of Chicagoland.com. That's WGNradio.com/contests. You got to take a photo of your deck and Take a deck pic. Take a deck pic. Put it up on our website. Put all your deck pics up on our website. And then the contest rules are there. I don't know how they.
Are they looking for the sorriest looking backyard?
I don't really know. I really don't understand how that part works.
Like a broken down deck with with boards broken off and shattered.
Right.
And
no matter how bad your deck is, put it up there.
Yeah.
We won't put your name.
Maybe that helps. I don't know.
I don't know. I intentionally stayed away from the rules here.
Yeah, it's
because good. I think, you know, you never know what's going to happen when you get into a situation like that.
Right.
They start telling you something. It's a Rokan show, and it's the weekend is upon us now. After 5 o'clock, the ceremonial Carnival Wagon is going to roll at 5:38 tonight, like anybody's counting. If there had been if there weren't a ceremonial Carnival Wagon, let's just say there were a Carnival Wagon rolling already, there might have been. That's all I'm going to say.
Potentially, maybe.
I'm not going to say nothing about nothing. Yeah. So just not what I'm going to do. And what's really funny, can I just tell you a funny little story as Richard Roper steps into the studio with us?
Hello, hello.
We have in the studio with us a guy who used to be our intern. And he was like, he came in, we, you know, it's the Knarble Wagon is out, there's some Knarble Wagon beers, you know, and he went immediately to go open them for everybody on the show, because that's what he did as an intern.
That's right.
And the problem with it is that he left our show, Richard,
mm-hmm.
and went on to have a bigger career than any of us have had.
There you go.
So that, how about that?
Well, you and I are
still
going
to be doing it. Is still opening the beers for us?
Yeah. Well, you know, listen, you and I are the Parcells and Belichick of the young talent out there.
Rowan Roper tree,
cradle of coaches, cradle of anchors, cradle of reporters. You know, they come in, they apprentice for a while, and they leave us behind.
Right. And that man is Dan Rather. Alex Margos, actually from NBC 5, is enjoying.
I thought that was Alex.
Yes.
Hi, Alex.
That's right. He does want to say, because you're over at the Channel 5 too, Jack.
I am.
Yeah. See that? Look at that.
So that's right. And here's the man. Here's the man right here. And you know, it was a funny thing. A couple of years ago, he calls me and he says, and he just started in West Lafayette, Indiana, right. And he got his job. So we were all so proud that he ended up going to television. Then he calls me and goes, hey, I just got a job offer in Chicago. Like, he'd been in West Lafayette, I think, for three quarters.
Yeah, of one Purdue game.
One game, yeah. He went, not even been there for the whole game.
Yeah, that's true.
And he got offered the job to do mornings here at Channel 5. Came right back home. Awesome. And he's got the biggest family I've ever met, because I can't go anywhere in town without a Margos family member coming up to me and saying, thank you so much for what you did for Alex.
It's nice.
Right?
It's
And I'm like, what did I do? First of all, who's Alex and what did I do?
Yeah.
That's what I got nothing to do with this. So I want to say that all the Margos is out there. You're welcome.
It's good.
It's all good. All right, are we ready here? Are we ready to start this whole thing up?
Do it.
How come Kevin's family doesn't say that to me? That's what I want to know.
Please. Carol Powell is always giving you hugs, Ron.
Yeah, I don't ever get that. They actually want to thank Steve Cochran for it, is what they wanted.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five. Let's go. Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
Oh no. Ted Cruz is criticizing Amazon for planning a new headquarters in New York City at his appearance at the CPAC convention. That's a conservative political action committee convention. The senator says that given the way Democrats run things and their feelings toward businesses, it was doomed from the start.
Blue states with high taxes, high regulations, their people are fleeing because they don't have jobs. We saw, look, when New York chased Amazon out because a bunch of New York socialists said, now, by the way, let's pause for a second. What on earth was Amazon doing? You're doing a nationwide search. Where do you want to base your second headquarters? I know New York City. You almost deserve the pestilence that happens to you if you go into that willingly. Going, okay, they're a bunch of crazy socialists. Let's go there. What do you think they'll do when we get there?
In New York, of course.
They're terrible.
Now, known for the complete lack of businesses. I mean, it's not like the current president ever built anything there or, you know, established his business.
Right,
there,
or decided he really had to stay there. He wanted to be the king of socialismville.
That's
They're
amazing.
Really going triple heavy on the socialism thing here.
Yeah, the socialism.
It's kind of working for them, though, because then you got Ocasio-Cortez running around going, all she needs is a Mao jacket, and she's got the complete look.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, I'd like to see that, actually.
Don't you think he's just mad at Amazon because his new razor that gives him that 3-day growth showed up 2 days late because the drone missed his house?
Yes, don't you think it makes me sexy?
Oh my gosh,
and
no.
Fetching.
Well, he's hot. He is hot. You know, he might be a 2 in Texas or in the world, but he's a 9 at CPAC.
Oh, he's crushing on AOC hard.
I'm telling
Talk
you.
Talk dirty to me. Talk about that socialism to me.
Oh, it's so bad. You want to just give money to all the poor people, don't you? Just talk about that. Welfare. Say welfare real slow.
goodness.
Oh, to each his own needs.
Who would ever build anything in New York City?
What's that town ever done?
I mean, wait, there's more.
But Senator, you got to focus on, as AOC said, the $3 billion windfall that's going to accrue to New York from chasing out Amazon. You can decommission a lot of cows with that kind of money.
Magic money. By the way, let me say I support cows. I hope to see PETA supporting the Republican Party now that the Democrats want to kill all the cows.
Wow.
What?
Amazing.
Where did that come from? Democrats hate cows now?
Yeah, because of bovine flatulence.
Oh, that's right.
He's like,
right.
I'm finally in the zone where I can be as funny as Dave Chappelle. Like the one little zone for Ted Cruz. He's like, this is great. I finally got material.
Nailed it.
And don't you think they all call her AOC because they're afraid they can't pronounce her name?
Oh, I can't. That's why I have to call her AOC.
I love her. God bless her.
Yes, I sort of deeply love her, too.
Jeez.
I don't want to tell my wife about it, though, because she get all mad. I'm so sorry. I'm a bad boy.
Oh, my God. They don't have any Orchids of Asia branches anywhere near that CPAC, do they? One can hope. One can just hope.
And the feds already have they got the cameras in there already.
Just in case.
Oh, Ming Fu Hulu. Robert Kraft said I should come ask for you personally.
Oh, man.
Did you ever see my Twitter feed when I wrote about the movie where Bryce came home to see his stepdaughter showering in the kitchen using the sink hand washer? Oh, and she got all wet in her t-shirt. And you could see things, Ming Fu Hulu.
Oh, my God. I'll ring up that Kraft single.
All right, we got to go.
What just happened? Individually wrapped, baby.
Wait a second. We can't go from that to that.
Yeah,
you know what?
This is
a Casey Kasem thing here.
Oh, man.
All right, and what we're going to do here, a preview of Oprah Winfrey's forthcoming conversation with two men who've accused Michael Jackson of... Oh, this I can't do this one either. I'm just moving along. Oh, no.
Dead soap actress. She'd like to go to that one.
All right, let's try it.
Death dedication.
Why don't we just open up with two now, and then we'll get to the other ones on the other side after we stop laughing.
Okay.
Play My Generation, would you?
Oh, God. Please tell me that Roger Daltrey's okay.
I don't know. I should have read ahead.
I'm pretty sure he's okay.
Legendary Who frontman Roger Daltrey, who has hearing aids from the Hearing Health Center, right? Isn't that?
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that Walter Jacobson?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what Walter Jacobson told us.
That's fantastic.
Turned 75 today.
Wow.
And, of course... You know, what made him famous is the scream, right?
Amazing.
No one could do it.
Hmm.
And he still, you know, the guy who, after 60 years of singing he can't speak anymore, but he can only sing.
Wow.
He's only allowed to sing. But he has been paired with some of rock's most recognizable tunes. Out here in the fields. There you go. All right, now we successfully dodged the horror of going from a laugh fest to other kinds of
Ted
horror.
Cruz at a massage parlor to Daltrey, thank God.
Great band, especially when they had the original four, right? Keith Moon, John Entwistle, mm-hmm. Pete Townsend, and Roger Daltrey. Those four right up there in terms of live acts, Woodstock and everything else.
Yes, I think
blew the doors off.
Got to put it right up there with people make the argument about, well, the Beatles were never a live band, right?
When they played live, a lot of the times they just laughed because nobody could hear them. They went to Comiskey Park and just, you know,
so
played where Ken Berry was roaming center field for 2 days.
It's really between The Who, The Stones, and Zeppelin in terms of live acts from that era.
And the Who's the only band that ever required, they were so violently aggressive and loud, they needed duct tape on the microphone for Roger Daltrey and on Keith Moon's headphones. Remember? He had to tape his headphones to his head.
Oh, man.
No other band has said, we need duct tape in our contract writer, right?
I have bad news here, because two of the five things here that we were going to get to were about death after we were just doing all the fun stuff. And I don't know how to do that. And it's just, it's like we had our own Casey Kasem moment.
He's down on the phone.
Oh, no.
All right, we might get to your 3, 2, and 1. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to do this.
You could just have Eric read them in serious newsman voice.
I might have him come in and do that. Because
all right, I'm game.
I don't really feel after the way we just started that it's appropriate for me to do the two of these. Too serious.
I can just make it my 5:30 newscast if you want.
Yeah, it's not allowed. All right, let us now check in with Eric. What's coming up at 5:30?
Tax day for Cook County property owners. We'll have that story and more coming up at 5:30 from the WGN Newsroom.
When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN TV.
All right. Top 5-5 continues. Checking in at
number 3.
After a rebuke from the parents of Otto Warmbier, Kellyanne Conway, counselor to the president, defended Donald Trump for saying that he was taking the word of Kim Jong-un, who says he had no idea that Otto Warmbier was in North Korea and that he was in trouble. It was a big country, as Donald Trump said, a lot of people. You know, you can't keep a track of every story, which I think, to me, that was the worst part of it. Because it's not. It's a small country, and almost everybody there is in jail. So he knows where everybody is. It is a communist dictatorship of the most authoritarian nature. But the blowback from the Warmbier family has actually created a really huge problem on Capitol Hill, because now Republicans have to answer for, do you agree with the president on that? And they're afraid not to. So here's Kellyanne Conway.
What is the White House response?
I've just spoken to the president, and we talked about this very issue. The president agrees with the Warmbier family and holds North Korea responsible for Otto Warmbier's death. He has said that time and again. This president is responsible for having Otto Warmbier return to this country and be reunited with his family in his final hours before he passed. But the president is talking about that Chairman Kim did not know what happened to Otto at the time of when it happened.
Wow.
Cleanup on aisle 5, not working for me.
Even Kellyanne seemed to be losing steam there, trying to spin that, you know, deeper and deeper. And that was just... Yeah, this is like, you know, I remember way back when, you know, history of, you know, when Gary Powers and the Soviets, you know, the Russians at the time, the Soviet Union had an American, or Americans not being aware of, you know, this is such a huge thing. And, not, you know, I hate to say it this way, but a bargaining chip, if you will, mm-hmm. the idea that Kim Jong-un wouldn't know everything going on
right.
with this, you know, tragedy
right.
is madness.
Right. And, and when the president lets him off the hook, it's not like the president's saying, oh, North Korea was, you know, it's okay. But what the president he is letting him go on it. Like, he didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Because he wants to keep the negotiations going. I mean, I get that the whole idea there is that he wants to keep the negotiations warm here, and he doesn't want to go after him directly. But there's another way to do that.
Yeah.
Right? You don't go, well, he said, you don't have to explain his side of it. And all the president has to say is it was an incredible tragedy, and we're incredibly disappointed by what happened from North Korea. That's it. And move on.
Now he's saying he was misinterpreted, the president.
He always says that.
And it's like, and then people will play the tape, and it won't matter to his supporters. They'll say, you're twisting his words.
But why?
Even though they couldn't have been clearer.
Why does he have to do that? Why does he have to? Don't suck up to dictators. The American president, he is our president. He's representing the United States of America. This is not American values. To be a communist dictator. That is not what we do. And I know he just wants to keep them okay in the negotiations. This isn't some dude who's got a parcel on the Upper West Side that he wants to sell Donald Trump. Right? This is a guy who's killed thousands of people, including his own relatives, with anti-aircraft guns. Right? In other unspeakable ways, so that he scares his own populace into not crossing him. See, now that's Friday, and that's not fun. All right. checking in at.
Number two.
Also not particularly fun. Oprah Winfrey sat down with those two guys who were featured in Leaving Neverland, who Richard Roper reviewed yesterday on the program. And that's the documentary, two-part documentary on HBO that's premiering this weekend about what was going on in Michael Jackson's house. And there's been a lot of blowback here because these two guys claim that they were molested by Michael Jackson when they were children. They're now there in their 30s. And there are people saying, well, why are you doing this? Michael Jackson can't defend himself. And Oprah's sitting down with them, and she's experiencing the blowback. So why did you sit down with them?
For me, this moment transcends Michael Jackson. It is much bigger than any one person. This is a moment in time that allows us to see this societal corruption. It's like a scourge on humanity, and it's happening right now.
So I can't believe that she would get blowback for this. Are you surprised, having seen it?
Well, there's such a camp, a huge camp of Michael Jackson supporters who turn out, and what I think is like an organized effort when anybody ever says anything negative or even, you know, shines a light on something that is negative. So after I wrote my review of Leaving Neverland for the Sun-Times, I heard, you know, on Twitter and through emails from all kinds of Michael Jackson supporters, none of whom had seen the movie. But they don't think you should even question it. Michael Jackson's estate, you know, they sent a letter to HBO, a long letter, telling them not to run it. And HBO basically said, yeah, okay, nice we're running it. Yeah.
Thank you for your letter. Thank you for the letter. We'll put it in our file.
Yeah.
All right. And finally,
number one.
Catherine Hellman, best known for her roles on Who's the Boss and Soap, has died. She gained stardom playing the ditzy matriarch Jessica Tate in the 70s sitcom. Along with Billy Crystal and Robert Guillaume, she earned 4 Emmy nominations.
So, what's going on with you three? Well, Eunice is depressed, and Corinne is depressed. And I was just debating whether or not to join them.
Sounds like fun.
Actually, I think I've been depressed quite a lot lately. I mean, I eat a lot and I just simply cannot sit still.
I don't think you're depressed, Ma. I think you're horny.
That show was so ahead of its time, man. Remember the network, they had to apologize for it when they put it on the schedule. First openly gay character on television, played by Billy Crystal. Openly brazen references to all forms of sexuality. Yeah. And very, I always thought very funny.
Absolutely, it was, you know, it was a satire of daytime soap operas. But yeah, as Rose said, for the time, it was like, what is on television right now?
That was the first time you ever saw your uncle go, oh god, how are they putting this on television? All right, and finally, wait, there's one more here.
Yes,
oh,
unfortunately,
this is sad.
Unfortunately, yes.
Rollo is dead. Nathaniel Taylor was the actor who played Rollo in Sanford and Son, who was like one of those actors, one of those roles that when he would show up on screen, he was a recurring character. He wasn't one of the stars. It just lit everything up.
Yep.
Still has a huge fan base. And as a matter of fact, he's got a little play. People actually will refer to it's like a Rollo moment.
Nice.
When you just show up out of nowhere. And also how you dress. Because let's just say there were some stereotypes that were being played on Sanford and Son, even though, you know, the whole idea was to be groundbreaking, right? To have a sitcom about an African-American, a real African-American played by Red Fox. So here's a little bit of Rollo.
Is that Rollo? I didn't know you came out in the daytime.
Oh, listen, I don't have a picture of myself. You think I'm going to need one?
Hey, man, I hope not, because I ain't got a picture of myself either. Mm. Well, Rollo, why don't you go down to the post office and take one of your pictures down?
Dude, my joke is a joke. But why do you always treat me like a criminal when I come over here, Mr. Sanford?
Because I want you to feel at home.
Again, writing that they would not allow on television
that's
today.
That's true.
Catherine Hellman was 89 and Nathaniel Taylor, 81.
The top five at five.
News being brought to you by the Art.
To alcohol.
the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Train man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here? I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer, one bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Can you give us your thoughts on that Best Picture win?
Let me take another sip.
Next question.
No, I thought it was courtside at the Garden. The ref made a bad call.
That just tells you that drinking and losing doesn't go hand in hand. That's a problem. But he'd already
Spike
won.
Spike had an Oscar.
Spike walked away with an Oscar.
That was his seventh glass of champagne that night. And Spike's a little dude, so and not a big drinker either. So when he gets a little champagne going, you know.
Right, that Prince Ankh or whatever that thing was, it was wearing around his neck. You know that flew off at some point.
Oh, man.
All right. The Carnarvon Wagon is out. Let us enjoy ourselves greatly. This, I might add something important, meteorologically, that as you'll notice, the Carnarvon Wagon is rolling, mm-hmm. and the sun, it's still light outside.
That's huge.
Yep.
It will not be dark for a Carnarvon Wagon for the next 8 months.
Massive development in the day.
Something to think about.
This is big. Reason to drink.
Next time it'll be dark during Carnarvon, Bears will be 6-1.
That's right.
How about that?
That, I like the word. That's a little optimistic, but okay.
There you go.
7-0.
Yeah, they actually would be about 9 weeks in, but whatever, it'll be just fine.
There you go.
Here we go. All right, so we got the kids from Boulevard here, and Boulevard is a restaurant that harkens back to the whole notion of like old Hollywood, right? It's like one of those kinds of the theme, if you will, is to take you back to a point where there would be some young starlet that is sitting in a booth with some old producer and doing things that now would get everybody arrested.
That's exactly what they're going for. But let's steer it back to the old Hollywood.
Glamour. By a creepy movie producer.
No.
Marty, but it does happen. But you're doing Mardi Gras at Boulevard. So this, and people should check this place out because it is very, very cool. And the food is amazing. Definitely. Halsted and Lake, right?
Yep.
Exactly where we are. And now, Colin Junkins is our beverage director for the day, and you realize what an important role that is in the Carnarvon Wagon.
I
don't think you do. I don't think you really do. I don't think you do. All right, what did you bring for us?
So we brought a couple different cocktails. Obviously the Hurricane, and then also two of our classics on the menu: Pilsen Paloma, and then our JFK to LAX. So
JFK to LAX.
Wow.
See what you're doing there? See what you just did right there. That's right. And what is the... All right. So what's your take on the Hurricane? Because the Hurricane sort of, you know, by its very nature, the Hurricane is sort of like a catch-all, right?
Yep.
It always has been when you're in New Orleans.
Yeah. You know, it has a deep-rooted history back to that time when rum was kind of flowing in very heavily to that region. Obviously, O'Brien's was kind of the staple. Recently just went down to New Orleans and got to experience the original Hurricane for the first time. So I think that kind of played into the inspiration for this as well. But really, we try to, with all of our cocktails and our, you know, and our entire program, really just try to tie into our concept and then also reimagining some of those into the modern day, just like our concept. So the Hurricane, you know, obviously taking that foundation of that classic cocktail and then reimagining it with some modern twists. So
I want to, it says here on the list of ingredients, because that's, again, you go down to New Orleans and you get a Hurricane, they are very different. Pat O'Brien's, obviously, as you said, that was, you know, that kind of where it all started. But then you go to any little shop, right? You go to a t-shirt shop and they're going to give you a Hurricane.
Yeah.
Right? And a vuvuzela.
Size of a fire hydrant, right. And a souvenir glass.
Yes.
Cup, I should say. Cup.
Yeah. Yeah. But it says here that you've got CH vodka, green chartreuse, orange juice, and corrected pineapple juice.
Mm-hmm.
What did the pineapple juice do wrong?
We're just balancing the acidity level by using some malic and citric acid. So
what? You know what?
I always thought that if you did that, that's the way you would reach the corrected thing. But this is why we leave it to the experts.
I know. Oh, so
the end result is very tasty.
So you don't
right? because you know
you definitely don't want that. And what is the all right? So now the Pilsen Paloma. Explain that.
Yep. So obviously taking a really classic drink that's seen and has been trending for quite some time, and really reimagining it to the modern day. So obviously tying in the ties to Chicago, not only in name but also using Malort. We actually use absolutely no grapefruit in the cocktail, grapefruit juice in the cocktail whatsoever. We actually play off of the citrus components of Aperol, and then using the bitter components of Malort, tied with a little bit of passion fruit to really replicate the flavors of that grapefruit juice.
And so, Mexican squirt.
Yeah, it has to be Mexican, just because of the real cane sugar. So
see that?
Not just anybody's squirt. You can't just get regular squirt.
No.
I love the Malort in there. You can taste a pinch of it, but it's not like when you normally take a shot of it and it's,
you want to go
taste like gasoline.
Yeah, you don't want to go in a...
Yo, you're selling it, Kev. No, I'm saying
when you put it in here and you mix, you can actually drink it.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Yeah, no, it's, the two flavors play really well together, and we really encourage guests to try it, especially if they've had a bad experience with Malort before, because you can't really tell that it's in there outside of this slight bitter component, so...
I'll take shots.
It's kind of like you because there's that slight bitter component, but there's a way to just kind of get around it. So this is perfect.
And people complain like the Malort. They complain generally for the first couple of weeks of the show, like what is wrong with him? And then they eventually just get used to it. I wear them down. Mexican squirt. Explain, because you go to the store now, and it's like in the Mexican aisle. There's all the brands right? You've got Coke, you've got a bunch of different juices and things like that. But why do people love the Mexican versions of soft drinks more than here?
I think a lot of it has to do with, again, the U.S. or the standard version of those drinks are using high fructose corn syrup, which, in terms of flavor is meant to be significantly sweeter than just using regular sugar. And I think anybody who has that with real cane sugar, they're kind of getting, as crazy as it sounds, a less sugared version of it.
That's true. Sugar is not as sugary as the sugar substitute.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say that there's by ratio that there's less sugar in it, but I'm probably on your palate. It's right. It's tasting less syrupy and less sugared.
So. Can we make the argument that it's better for you? Can we make the argument?
Sure.
Okay.
If it helps me drink more of it, then by all means,
there you go.
Because I do. I see it all the time, and it's like It's funny because people do think that the Mexican drinks are going to be the soft drinks are going to be much sweeter, but they're really not.
Yeah,
they're kind of and the Mexican Coke. I don't really drink sugar drinks anymore, but when I've had it, the Mexican Coke tastes like Coke did when I was a kid.
Ah,
that's the thing. They said, well, we never changed the recipe, but they kind of did. I don't want John Coca-Cola or whatever the guy's name was.
That's his name.
Who invented it?
This is it. That's his name.
Yes, Woodrow Coca-Cola. Yeah. I don't want him to be mad at me, but I think that happens to be. All right, what's the last one?
Last one is JFK to LAX. So obviously tying in a classic cocktail, a New York Sour, into the concept, using both names of the airport to kind of tie the cocktail together. Making a classic whiskey sour, and a traditional New York Sour has a red wine float on top. So in this case, we incorporated Dubonnet, which is a red wine based aperitif, which also has a bunch of herbs and spices in it.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, which was just reintroduced to the market not too long ago. Was actually in Europe for quite some time. It wasn't seen in the U.S. until about summer of last year. And then incorporating just a little bit of beet juice and then a traditional meringue, which is kind of charged in an ISI canister and foamed on top.
It's a good looking drink as well as a good
This one's fun.
Fine tasting.
Thank you, Harry Carey. He's a good looking.
It really is, though. It's pretty.
Were you good in science in high school?
I was good at chemistry. I wanted to be a geneticist growing up. So
really, and you decided to go with this.
Yeah,
that's I realized very that, like the legal version of Jesse from Breaking Bad. You can go one way or another there. So you're like Pinkman, Jesse Pinkman. Still putting your brain to good use.
Yeah, no, but listen, I mean, I think you're doing God's work. But and quite honestly, geneticists they might not be. They might be tinkering with God's
what they're up to.
This is God. All that's of this right. is totally natural ingredients.
It's all good
except for the Malort. I don't know what is Malort made out of.
I think it's proprietary. I know that it recently just came back to Chicago, so it's finally being made back in Chicago for the first time in quite some time. So
we don't know. We're not allowed to know what's in it.
I don't think that they publish what their secret blend of spices and herbs is. Right. So
there's always a guy at the bar who loves Malort. You know, he's like, I could take shots of Malort all night. And he's trying to just get people into the bar to drink Malort with them, and everyone else is like, oh my god.
That's it. That's my nickname. It's my password.
What exactly does it taste like? I've never had it.
It's very herbaceous.
It's like
twigs and branches.
It's a lot. There's really
kinda
nothing.
It tastes like you're taking tomorrow off, okay? How about that?
There's really nothing like it.
That's the perfect explanation. Thank you.
You got it.
Right. That's a great way to put it. All right. And now, you put a bunch of New Orleans kind of food on the menu here? Boulevard?
I mean, really, really focusing around the cocktail. I do know that chef's probably going to do some type of New Orleans inspired dishes as well to tie into that. So
because it all starts next week, Fat Tuesday, right? Is on Tuesday.
It is.
It'll be sunny at 5 o'clock on Fat Tuesday too. Just letting you know.
You want to go to Boulevard because it's going to be freezing. So you want to feel if you want to get that Mardi Gras feel, get inside.
That's hurricane is. This is going to get me in trouble.
You need
today.
Someone to do the sports for you, Kev?
Maybe. I got two more.
I don't care. It's okay.
You know,
I'm Kevin Powell.
I need more hurricane.
Elise, Robert, I love you. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. This is awesome.
Really
Thank
good.
You very
Drinks
much.
Are terrific.
Really,
wonderful.
Really well done.
Thank you for having us. Really
All right. Boulevard, do not walk. Run there to Boulevard or Uber. Or Lyft or whatever you want to do. I don't care how you do it. You can drive if you like. Take the train. It's right there on Lake Street. You want to take the Green Line for like two blocks and then get off and just that will give you that sort of old feel. That's what they're going for there, the old Hollywood feel. All right, and that is at it's 817 West Lake Street. So that's Lake Street and right there, right. You just can't miss it.
The only boulevard on the street. I'm writing the tagline over you guys.
That's how that goes. All right, let's check in now with Eric, find out what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Illinois may run out of weed real quick if it becomes legal. That story and more coming up at 6 from the WGN Radio Newsroom.
Eric Rung standing by in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
You guys want to have a chugging contest with these hurricanes? See what happens?
I have to just say that the hurricane from Boulevard here, which is Lake and Halstead, is scary good.
And because it's not overly sweet. Some of the drinks like this can be so sugary and it's like too much. This is that perfect balance between liquor and sweet.
Yeah. It lets you know what you're having, which is good. Because sometimes you go to New Orleans, you haven't even checked into the room yet, and you're already like passed out because, oh, this just tastes like, Gatorade.
Or a bomb pop. It tastes like a bomb pop with Everclear in it, and that's what it's supposed to
be. This announces itself as a grown-ups only drink.
There you go. News right around the corner.
Someone else under their mirror, so they go out without their spouse and party all night long. When they find someone,
Jim Andrews Band, a little song called No Tell Motel. Never heard of those.
I don't know either.
Oh, you know who has? Bobby K.
Here we go.
Bobby K.
That's his favorite spot to stay.
Save the franchise from oblivion and look what happens.
Give me the five. Give me the suite at the No-Tell Motel.
He's a billionaire and he's going to the early bird special at the local massage parlor for an accidental thing that happens when she slipped.
Make it nice. Put a fruit basket in there for me. You know what she likes.
Two roads diverged in a wood. All you had to do was take a left and just get like a caramel macchiato before getting on the private plane to Kansas City. I think I'll go over it. Not right that.
You know what I need?
All those Super Bowl trophies, all of it.
Punchline. I'm so tense. I could barely sleep last night. I wanted to sleep on the private plane on the way to Kansas City. Ming Fu Hulu.
Oh my God.
Although he was there the night before and then he went the morning of the game. He was there twice.
I'm so nervous. You know how good this Kansas City is?
Yeah, I got
that. I'm so nervous.
It's Mahomes.
That thing in my neck, you got to work it out.
I just think like the Pulitzer Prize winning obituary team at the New York Times you know, they do the pre-written kind of things. God, you know, we hope he lives a much many more years. But Robert Kraft, who built a multi-billion-dollar paper company and, you know, saved the New England Patriots from near oblivion and led them to all these. No, now it's comma. Who was, you know, they have to insert this, so to speak.
VIP member at the Orchids of Asia Spa in South Florida.
Mr. Kraft is survived by
Mr. Kraft.
His children and an unknown benefactor.
Mr. Kraft, a well-known visitor of the Orchids of Asia Spa in South Florida.
Just like that, it turns on you.
Also right. Owner of the Patriots.
Yeah, also
children, Ashley, James, yeah. Robert Jr.
Oh, no.
And Mingfeng.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Robert Bobby K. Kraft.
Oh, man, it's something. Yeah, you know, you make one mistake. You know, you get one unfortunate, pleasurable massage,
The
next, well, two in this particular case. The next thing you know, everybody's making fun of you.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I have a second will to be introduced here. I leave it all! $6.5 billion! What? Dad, what did you do?
To Mingfulu.
Mingfulu, who's now going to be the new... going to be Tom Brady's boss.
Oh, jeez.
Because Tom Brady will still be on the team when he's 60.
Oh, no.
All right, listen. We do this? I'll tell you why we do this, because we hate that team. Because they just keep winning.
Yeah.
All right. Dumb.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about this. Speaking of dumb.
Yes, indeed. Football segue for you.
Very Cavallari is returning to television.
Yes. How about that? And we talked about it last year because, you know, if a year ago, a little more than a year ago, if you told me that, you know, Kristen Cavallari, who was on Laguna Beach and the Hills and all that stuff back, you know, the original kind of reality soap opera type stuff in the mid-2000s. If you told me she was coming back to TV for a new show, I'd be like, good for her. I like her. You know, we've met her. She's very nice. I think she works really hard. She's one of my favorites out of that whole crew. But the only reason we really care here in Chicago is because she's married to Jay Cutler.
Right. We would not be watching it here.
And he's on the show. And
boys would not be watching it here.
And it became this huge viral sensation. Like every, you know, major sports blog all of a sudden started assigning beat reporters to Very Cavallari season 2. Because it picked up last year right after he had retired from the Dolphins. And there was still some talk about him, maybe him coming back to football. And now we see the show takes us, you know, behind the scenes, so to speak, their life in Tennessee, where Kristen is running this, you know, many businesses, including this Uncommon James line of jewelry and clothes and all that kind of stuff. And Jay, who is continually referred to throughout the show at the graphic, Jay, Kristen's husband. That's how they always call him in the graphic. Jay, Kristen's husband. He has cheerfully acknowledged that he doesn't want to do anything. Even though he's like, what, Kev, 37 maybe at the most?
Oh, I don't even think that. I mean,
he's like, well, she asked him last year, what do you plan to do if your football career is over? He goes, nothing.
That's exactly what he did during his football career.
Well, there's those who say that. And, you know, he also walked away with $100 million, you know, over the years. So now we got season 2. And we pick up the action here. They bought a farm. They call it a farm. It's what they call like a hobby farm. It went for $6 million, I think, on about 50 acres of property, about 30 miles southwest of Nashville, where they sold their house last year. So she's going into town every day to run the business. He's at home playing the role of the gentleman farmer with the goats and the chickens and this stuff, wearing the camo and the sweats. She's in the stiletto heels. So here's a scene where she's talking to him about how the business has really blown up since last year.
I really can't keep anything in stock.
It's good to be in demand.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool, but because it was overnight, it's also really stressful.
Since you guys are kind of blowing up now, I was thinking maybe I could get, like, an allowance.
What?
Since you're making all the dough,
yes.
It's kind of hooked me up a little bit.
I didn't get an allowance when you were playing football.
I know, we gave you a credit card. It's like an allowance. It's actually better.
Touché. Yeah.
He's got that delivery.
Oh, my God. This show is perfect, right? Because like me and my idiot friends are never watching the E! Network unless like you're with a girl and she's forcing you to watch a certain show. I'll go out of my way to watch Jay Cutler embarrass himself on this show. Like, so they've dived into a whole like demo that would never watch this network.
He broke out like Kramer after the first season of Seinfeld, where you were like, okay, this is going to be all about Kristen and all of her insanely beautiful friends who are always getting in breakups and they're always screaming at each other, and then they'll go out and get drunk, and then someone gets fired, and you know, the usual reality TV stuff. We don't care about any of that. It's when Jay walks in.
Isn't it amazing? But it, like, you can hear Jay being forced by the producers to make a positive comment about the Uncommon James brand, right? The whole idea here is to say, we're so hot, we can't keep anything in stock. And oh my God, I'm so stressed because I can't, it's going to be, how am I going to fulfill? Because everybody on the planet wants my clothing line.
Yeah.
So that's what they're trying to tell us to get us enticed to go online and buy more of the stuff that's being made by Ming Fu Lu, who's Hulu's grand nieces in some place in Guangzhou province.
Well, that's the brilliance of the thing, too, because, you know, you can tell Jay's, like, kind of acknowledging that. Like, all right, I'll say this. And the other thing is, there's no reality to this, because the reason the clothing line and the store took off was because of the show. So the show's not reflecting reality. You know, she went from 4 employees to 55 employees because there's a bunch of young women who watch the TV show and go, I got to get that pot and pan or that, you know, necklace or whatever the hell it is, or candle, because Kate Cav put her name on it. It's the same reason, like, you know, one of those cheaters in that whole Kardashian thing's like, oh, I didn't cheat, I didn't sleep with your friend, I got a new line of eyelashes available at every department store.
The worst example of that in the history of reality television was when it was gonna be very important, the Caitlyn Jenner show, like, Hello, I'm Caitlyn, or whatever the name of that thing was, right? Yeah. Because it was going to prove that this is for the transgender community. Sure. This is such an important moment, and we're gonna learn what it was that you know, this incredible star athlete couldn't live in his own body because it was a man's body. He needed to be in a woman's body, even though he's not really interested. He's still interested in women. He had this whole thing that was going on. And then in the middle of it, Kanye shows up wearing his fashion line of shoes, and they stop from the middle of the heartfelt, I've got body dysmorphia, whatever it's called, and I don't know what to do. And then Caitlyn Jenner goes, hey, what are those shoes? Yeah. And then we have to do like 5 minutes on, it is my new shoes. They look like marshmallows.
Oh my gosh. That's so true.
Right?
Where can I buy them, Kanye?
You're just being sold, America.
Well, and you know, the reality of that too is a lot of people were just tuning in to find out if he was still javelin, so to speak, you know, in terms of specialties.
Yeah, they did keep that to the very end. Right. They didn't want to, he still was during that period of time, right? We weren't quite sure where that was going. Yeah, we don't know if he is. I don't know if he's been to jail, but that would be, or she. That's an interesting observation. But again, then next thing you know, I'm looking at the show, I'm not interested. It was like you're walking through a store. That's what reality television is.
Well, no doubt about that,
and it works.
It does. Right? We got more. We have more of Jay.
Oh well, here's how about this? So he's a farmer now, right? He's a gentleman farmer. And they've got the eggs, and he's naming the chicken, the hen, he believes, Blooms. And he's trying to come up with a way, because he can't get, literally, what came first, the chicken or the egg. So here's Gentleman Jay, Farmin' Jay Cutler, as we're calling him now. No longer Smoking Jay Cutler. Farmin' Jay Cutler.
Let's go up to the chicken coop and see if there's eggs.
So we got.
What if Blooms is in here laying an egg?
She could be. Is anybody in there?
Ooh.
That's a fake one.
Why have a fake egg in the chicken coop?
Great question. I'm glad you asked. So, whenever Blooms was going rogue, just put it in here. Just kind of a reminder. Hey, Blooms. This is where I need you to lay your egg.
Okay, well, I'm going to put these inside, and then I'm heading into the office. You keep looking for Blooms' eggs.
I'll find it. Think about that allowance thing, you know?
I'll think about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, they should have done? They should have put the football in the end zone for him, too, using the same principle.
Right, it's a Jay in the broadcast. Joey, what did you think about that sweep? Right. Thank you. I'm glad you asked about that play, my fellow broadcaster.
That's what I think Rose, like, you know, like he says, like, they obviously are they're creating these scenarios, and he's mocking the scenario. That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. You know, they don't want him saying that, because he's basically saying, this is so stupid, but I'm going to keep doing it.
I got a plastic egg in here. We found from an Easter egg roll.
Oh, wait a minute. We have one more. We find out what happens to Blooms.
Oh, no.
Well, I find out why Blooms doesn't want to lay eggs.
Why?
She's a he.
Blooms is a boy?
We have no use for boys. He is going to go to chicken heaven soon.
No. We can give Blooms away. How did you figure that out?
Walked out and he was crowing.
Really?
Hens don't do that. Because the roosters go around and...
Oh, I know. They fertilize the eggs.
You know how they fertilize the eggs.
I can't think about Blooms like that.
If he's crowing, then he's ready to roll, I feel like. We're going to cut his sex life off pretty quickly.
Poor Blooms.
Poor chick. Poor.
If he's crowing, he's sowing.
Amazing.
He's sowing.
So like the people behind the scenes. So what are you doing now? Well, I'm the sound mixer for Very Cavalieri. I put in some sound effects and then some wacky music to accentuate the humor.
It's like it's hipster farming, basically what it is. It's like you live on a farm to get the farm feel, but these people have no idea what they're doing. They just want to take pictures on their Instagram. We're farmers.
The minute they call cut that, he couldn't give a hoot about that. Chickens or any of that stuff. Right. He's playing
care.
Video games. Colin Urlacher, what are you doing? I still got my hair, dude. All right, I'm good.
I absolutely love how the person that's in the target demographic is like not the person who watches that show here.
That's what I mean. They've dipped into a whole new demo.
That's exactly right.
Which makes us all disgusted. I would never watch that show ever, but I can't turn it off when it's on.
Oh gosh! I mean, I've never seen it.
You kind of want to fast forward just to the J parts.
Exactly, but I mean, it's just so awkward and bad. It just makes your skin crawl, but I can't turn it off.
Exactly.
I do like how they had a transgender chicken, though, because that really does help. That's very...
That's big on
the Kardashians. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you guys, I'll pull the curtain back, too. When I was doing these weekly recaps for the Sun-Times, which I'll be doing again, and, like every place else, you get, instant results. How many people are clicking on this story? How many visiting that story? And week in and week out, it'd be like number one story on the Sun-Times website, Bears. Number two, Very Cavalieri. I'd be like, what about my review of that artsy film that was showing at the Barrington 12?
Well, it's true. I mean, you are one of the most esteemed film critics in American history. And they've got you writing about Very Cavalieri.
I believe that the people behind the show don't trust me because I would last year when I'd request episodes, they'd be like, wait a minute, why? What? What are you going to do with these?
Wait, a real film critic like, wants to look at
like,
this?
Wait a minute. And then I'm trying, actually, I want to bring Kristen in here. I don't think Jay's going to come in, but I'm trying to get, I'd love to have Kristen come in.
She is lovely.
And she is. She's wonderful, and I think she'd be a lot of fun. And even then, the first time I didn't hear back, I'm like, this is weird because I usually hear back from somebody if we want to bring them in. And one publicist said, I thought you were kidding. I thought you were making fun of us. I'm like, no, we want to talk to her.
No, we are. We're making fun of Jay. No.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, Jay's making fun of Jay. Yeah. Jay's making fun of
I mean, I'm happy for her brand. I'm happy for her. I'm glad that it's hot, but it's hot because of the show. I mean, that's the thing. That's how you that's really what these things tend to be about. Yeah. The Kardashian dynasty is built on the product that they're selling based on the reality show, not the other way around.
Absolutely. And so. I will say one thing that I will absolutely applaud J-Cut and K-Cav for. They have three young children, and they will not put them on camera for this
God
show.
Bless
they're
them
not
that.
Doing that. They said, nope, we're not doing that ever.
They apparently have separate lawyers. All right, let us now check in here. Let's find out what's happening at the bottom of the hour. Eric?
Felony charges for teens accused of beating up another teen for his gym shoes.
This week on Chicago's Best, get ready for the face-melting, sweat-inducing, belly-burning, but oh-so-tasty spicy. Chicago's Best Spicy, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Just saw Elliot walking through the halls here.
Wow.
All right, now, it is now that we've had to cleanse our palate with Jay Cutler, it's time for Live Music Friday. The Jim Andrews Band is here. JimAndrewsMusic.net and on Facebook at Jim Andrews Music if you want to find Jim Andrews, the Jim Andrews Band. They are amazing. You are going to love this. They're going to be in Naperville on March 13th at 64 Wine Bar and Carol Stream on the 30th of the month at JT's Corner Tap. Oh, JT's, that's a joint if there's ever one. And Jimmy's in Naperville on April 5th. And the big summer season kickoff, May 24th, at Board and Barrel in Naperville. These guys are amazing. And we're going to do a perfect kind of crazy right here. Ladies and gentlemen, the Jim Andrews Band.
Someone to fit in the life, special lover or just another to get them through the night. But since I met this girl, I've been getting back into the dating world. Well, she opened up my eyes to what's been missing in my life. Started simple, a little bit of grief. We had a
great conversation over a couple of drinks. But as we left the bar, we started heading back out to our car, where we got caught in the rain. And that's when things got a little strange. She started dancing in the street, moving to the rhythm of a made-up beat. And that's when I tried to follow along. Then she moved a little closer, put her head up on my shoulder, giggled as she kissed me on the cheek. Oh, she seemed like perfect kind of crazy for me. From that moment, oh, I began to realize so much more to her than what meets the eye. She plays it nice and cool, so someone gets her into that goofy mood. Then she'll look at me and smile, oh yeah. What follows drives me wild. Like when she dances in the street, moving to the rhythm of a made-up beat. And that's when I try to follow along. Oh, but then she pulled a little closer, put her head up on my shoulder, giggle as she whispers what she needs. Oh, she seems like perfect kind of crazy for me. She don't mind breaking the rules when they're in her way, or even a little skinny dipping in the middle of the day. She belts out a song even though she knows the words are wrong. Yeah, she's got me mesmerized by the crazy she don't street, moving to the rhythm of a made-up beat. And naps every time I try to follow along. Oh, but then she move a little closer, put her head up on my shoulder, giggle as she whispers what she needs. Oh, now she's calling me her baby. Yeah, she's my kind of lady, she'll be kind of crazy for me. A perfect kind of crazy, yeah.
Oh, wow. All right, that's the Jim Andrews Band. We're going to have more music from the Jim Andrews Band coming your way, but first we got to do news. Brought to you by Townstone Financial. Here's Eric Rung.
Drifting off to you, I can't help think about how everything turned upside down the morning we got the news.
This is Jim Andrews, Jim Andrews Band, and they are in Studio G right now, getting ready to rock the house again. It's Live Music Fridays, and I just want to say this: as much as I love A Star Is Born, Jim. And I do love it. Quite honestly, I think they should attract you as the male voice. I'm just telling you right now, because that's what he was trying to do, and he did it. You know, for an actor, it was pretty good. But there's a real difference between real singers and real actors, I think.
Well, I can't act, so that's okay.
See, that would work out all right. That's exactly what he was going for. All right. Now, let's just remind people, if you want to see this band, and they are amazing, 64 Wine Bar in Naperville, that's coming up on March 13th. That's just a couple weeks away now. JT's Corner Tap and Carol Stream, which I love. That's the real deal right there. They have chicken wire still at the stage?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Just got to make sure, just in case the beer bottle comes flying.
You got to duck sometimes because there's holes.
Man, that thing is for real. That is for real. And Jimmy's in Naperville April 5th. And big summer season kickoff May 24th at Board and Barrel in Naperville. And then wherever else you're traveling throughout the United States of America to play your music. All right, what do you want to play for us here?
I'm going to do a song. It's a song with my uncle. He was a very big influence to me. And he wrote this song, and he passed away a couple years ago. Him and I were really tight. So it's called Doing What I Love, and it's all about everything that we enjoy doing together. So we'll give her a whirl. All right. When I was raised in the heart of the city, a shy-town window, I got a picture of me on a painted pony when I was just a boy. I used to run around in a cowboy hat, a holster and 2-6 gun. A family and friends would say, leave him alone, it's just that boy had fun. And now look at me, well I'm wild and free. Up on stage and sing a country song. And it feels good, like I knew it would. Doing what I love, well, it can't be wrong. Well, then I grew up and Uncle Sam made me move away. I got a government job in the border pool. I couldn't find the time to pay. But after 3 long years, my time was up. And buddy, I had to run. The military man was saying, leave him alone, just let that fool have fun. And now look at me, well I'm wild and free. Up on stage and sing a country song. And it feels good, like I knew it would. Doing what I love and it can't be wrong. And it feels good, like I knew it would. I'm doing what I love and it can't be wrong. And it feels good, like I knew it would. I'm doing what I love and it can't be wrong. I said, doing what I love, well, it can't be wrong.
Jim, next time I want you to play something a little more up-tempo.
Okay.
You could work that out for us.
Yeah, wow. For sure.
That's great. That is good. That is a country rock song if I've ever heard one. Man, that was awesome. That is awesome. All right, coming up, more of the Jim Andrews Band. And first, you want to name the band here? You want to tell us who everybody is?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, I always screw up these last names, so I...
Have you ever met these guys before?
No, just today. All right.
Okay.
So behind the drums, we got Mark. See, I can't even remember his first name. It's Mark Charbonneau.
Mm-hmm.
Mike. I did it again.
Honest to God, did you just meet this band before?
This is rock and roll here. I don't know these guys' names. Just play the damn song.
I said, hey, I got this thing going on. You know?
Oh, my God. Imagine what the tour bus is like.
Yeah. We got Dave Victor over here on lead guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Pete. We call him PJ because I can't pronounce his last name. But it's
Geronimus?
Geronimus, yeah, there you go.
I got it. I could do it for you.
Isn't it bad? You know, I can remember all these words to these songs. But
God, you are a rock star. God, listen to him. Swear to God, this is great. Does your manager have to call you and wake you up at 8 p.m. every night?
Well, Susie over here from 1126, she calls me up and she says, okay, all right, you got to stop drinking the tequila. You got to get out there and you got to start playing. And so I do what she says.
And this is being mixed by our own man, Bill Malone, who's absolutely the best that ever lived at doing this. And when you hear Live Music Friday and you hear how great this stuff sounds, just think Bill Malone. He's should
a man.
Be, yeah. I mean, I don't know why we haven't given him a Grammy yet.
But he was snubbed.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, me.
Yeah. I think what we're going to do is we're going to give him Spike Lee's Oscar just to make everybody mad. All right. I want to play at least. You want to do a cover for me?
Sure.
Because we were just talking about this. We'll do a cover, then we'll come back and do one more original. Because I can't wait to hear you do this. And just do it. Just start it and let the people figure out what you're doing.
All right. On your own.
Here we go. Jim Andrews Band.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. She's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, I wonder this time when she's gone. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't a home. Anytime she goes away, anytime she goes away. And sunshine when she's gone. Sunshine when she's gone, only darkness every day. There ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't a home. Anytime that she goes away, anytime she goes away, anytime she goes away, anytime she goes away, yeah.
Oh, the maracas on you to do Bill Withers. Wow. All right. Jim Andrews. I'm going to give you some sort of an award, and I'm also going to get you tested for something because you can't remember anybody in your band. So that's a good moment. All right, we'll come back with Jim Andrews Band. More of the music for Live Music Friday right here from Studio G. But first, let's find out from Andre what's coming up in the news at the top of the hour.
And Roe putting safeguards in place to make sure one problem doesn't throw everything at Union Station into chaos, just like yesterday.
Drifting off to you. I can't help think about how everything turned upside down the morning we got the news. I never got to say goodbye.
That's a Jim Andrews Band right there. That's a recorded track, and we are about to hear another live track from the Jim Andrews Band as we play ourselves out of here tonight. Carnival Wagon is rolling. It's been an amazingly wild week, but a fun week, and there's been a lot of drinking. That's all I can tell you right now. Jim, what do you want to play for us?
I want to do one that I wrote. It's called She Won't Dance.
JimAndrewsMusic.net. Just Google the Jim Andrews Band. I think that's the best way to do that, to find you guys. Amazing stuff, man. Congratulations on this. It's really great. And I'm very happy I was able to introduce you to your own band. Really good. Really important.
I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. All right. All right. Take us home, baby.
Canceled her plans. She would have gone out with the girls. She didn't think that she would run into him. She only wanted casual, no strings attached. So when he told her how he felt, it scared her half to death. So she won't dance.